The Giant's Gamble. Chapter 4. Just an Average Tuesday. The companions stumbled back to the town of Nightstone on tired feet. They discussed Silken at length with Morak, but the townspeople choosing between either homelessness in a larger city or returning to their homes and finding peace with their new leaders simply chose the latter. The stone which the town was named after had been stolen by the cloud giants in their attack, but Morak and the other townspeople couldn't tell them what it was for or why it was taken, only that it was displayed in the center of town as a monument. The townspeople scattered inside the town gates and went to their respective homes. Their party joined Morak to his inn, and he provided them with private rooms and beds for the night. Rune performed his nightly prayers, staff in hand, then snuffed out his candle and went to sleep. Morning came, and the party convened downstairs, where Morak served up some fresh loaves of bread. He explained that some of his provisions had been safeguarded from raiders in a hidden cellar beneath barrels of refuse. While his good wine and most of his prepared foods were taken, he still had a good portion of what he owned. "Thankfully, goblins aren't the cleverest of folks," he said in his gruff, thick accent. "They don't go looking too hard for anything." "Is there anything we can do for the people of Nightstone to help with the town's recovery?" Killian asked the dwarf. Rune looked up at his friend dubiously. "Killian, why are you always trying to volunteer? We need gold. We're not a charity," he whispered. Rune knew the consequences of altruism, and he dared not make that mistake again. "This is my hometown," the sorcerer said, "and these people may need our help. Shouldn't we help the people who need it?" Rune shrugged in response. In watching this exchange, Morak said, "There are those who did not survive the attacks, and their families have yet to be notified."
"Can't you use a pigeon for that?" Thea asked.
"Thea," Killian said in surprise, "would you want to be told by a pigeon that someone in your family was dead?" The elf sighed and scratched her head.
"I suppose there could be better ways of finding out."
"Okay," Rune said. "But we don't know any of these people or their families, so how are we supposed to find them?" With that, Morak began listing off family names and where they lived, most of them nearly a 30-day journey from Nightstone. After some discussion, they decided to go to Tribor to notify a woman of her ex-husband's death.
"There are rumors of fire giants in the area, if you still pursue that course of action," the dwarf told them.
"Then it's settled," Thea nodded.
"Great," Rune said sarcastically. "I'm super excited to, once again, not be paid any gold and probably be killed by something much bigger and stronger than us."
"Now, Rune," Killian said instructively, "it's good to save lives. As a cleric, you should know as much."
He leaned down to the gnome and also whispered, "And it's good to be paid. We'll find someone to give us gold for our services." Rune nodded appreciatively, though he still couldn't rid himself of the visual of a giant squashing him underfoot, his body left as unnoticed jelly in the grass. To them, Rune was an ant. A very clever, handsome, hilarious ant, mind you. But still, small by giantish standards.
"I would like to kill things," Evelyn added hopefully.
Rune placed a friendly hand on her elbow. "I think that will definitely happen." Killian smiled down at Rune. With that, they went outside in search of Silken with Morak in tow, Killian offering to introduce him to the new, self-appointed leader of the town. The town was busy with men and women dressed in uniform, displaying the centaurum emblem, a flying snake in the shape of a dagger. They were carrying in supplies for the townspeople and distributing them to various homes. By the looks of it, they were actually helping people.
"Perhaps they're not so bad," Killian thought aloud.
"Silken's still an ass," Rune said, and Thea vocalized her agreement. Killian took a woman aside. She was carrying a crate with the centaurum emblem stamped on her chest. She stopped and looked at him, her hair out of place and sweat beating her brow.
"Your leader, Silken, can we find him somewhere?"
"He should be around,"
she shrugged unhelpfully at the various people milling about.
"Where can I find him?"
"Has anyone seen Silken?" the woman called out impatiently, and another man passing them with a sack of potatoes over each shoulder nodded his head eastward and said,
"He's that way."
Killian nodded in thanks and the party headed across town. Silken stood in all his frowning glory at the base of the eastern tower, pacing slowly as a short man with a sparse mustache read a ledger aloud to him. When Silken noticed them approaching, he held up a hand and dismissed the man.
"So, I see you've returned, your duty fulfilled," he said, nose turned up. So, I see you're still the worst, Rune muttered under his breath, and Thea shot him a reprimanding look. Killian gave Sulcan a nod. We did as you demanded. So tell me, why this town? What plans do you have for it?
You don't need this information, the leader said stubbornly.
Yes, but it might ease my mind, Killian said, brushing back his dark hair streaked with silver. Some of these people are old friends of mine.
Sulcan eyed him slowly, his gaze then tracing over the rest of the group.
They will be taken well care of, he said finally.
All right, Killian said thoughtfully. One last question, then.
Sulcan dipped his head. These giants appearing, they wouldn't have anything to do with you, would they?
No, the man said, shaking his head. They are something else entirely.
Then it appears my friends and I will be leaving. Here is Morak, owner of the town's inn. I trust that you will keep the people of Nightstone safe, and I hope we never meet again.
Hold up, Rune said, and Thea sighed dramatically.
We deserve to be paid for this. We nearly died to get these townspeople to safety just so you could rule over them. Look at us! Look at Evelyn! He gestured to the girl, her clothing tattered and her arms scarred from her many unhealed cuts. If you really are as altruistic as you claim, you will pay us what you're worth in character. After a few moments of consideration, the flicker of a smile crossed Silken's pale, thin lips as he gestured for the man with the ledgers to return. The man approached hurriedly.
Pay them each 20 gold.
The small man divvied up the funds nervously.
Very generous of you, Killian said, though Rune could sense the coldness in his tone.
It was the underlying pressure of the raging storm within the sorcerer. It spoke of rainier days and swirling ocean winds.
Goodbye, Silken said.
With that, Killian turned on his heel and gestured for everyone to leave, which Rune gratefully did after flipping a rude hand gesture in Sulcan's direction. The man raised an eyebrow but said nothing. Rune took issue with men who thought they deserved to rule just because they had the power to take something into their control. Rune tucked his gold into his cloak and continued on after his friends.
So, Killian said when they were all away from Sulcan and Morak, who stayed behind. Are we still in agreeance? We head to Tribor to inform that woman of her loss and perhaps take on news of these roaming fire giants?
Fire giants sound nice, Evelyn said pleasantly.
Do you think we could fight one, Evelyn? Killian asked, and Evelyn shrugged.
I would like to make some money, Rune told them.
What about you, Opal? Killian asked the Genasi.
I will follow whatever course the group decides, she said in her dreamlike voice, her hair shimmering in waves of color as she tossed it over one shoulder.
You are a very agreeable person, the sorcerer nodded appreciatively.
Money might be nice, Evelyn said, looking over at Rune, who winked.
Remind me to teach you proper gambling, he told the girl. Money is on my mind as well, Killian said.
Any direction we go, we'll have better opportunity for money than where we are right now, Thea said thoughtfully. So, I say we move on, today.
North, Killian confirmed. To Tribor.
I'm ready, Rune said happily, planting his staff firmly in the ground. Let's go kill some fire giants. Evelyn nodded, excitement showing in her usually bored expression. By the afternoon, the group gathered what provisions they could and headed out onto the road. They had 9 days of provisions on them and agreed to hunt for whatever else they needed. Being a city boy, Rune hoped the Genasi knew what she was doing. She said she knew the forest well, and Rune accepted that, so long as he didn't have to skin or debone or whatever any of the animals himself. So long as they came to him already cooked, he would be an agreeable camper. Their first day and night of travel passed uneventfully. On the second day, Rune shouted for them to stop again.
You have to go again already? Thea asked.
It's only natural, Opal said sing-songedly.
I don't know what to tell you, the gnome shrugged, jogging to the sparse tree line and unbuttoning his breeches to relieve himself. Somehow this bottle of wine ended up in my pack.
You didn't have to drink it, the elf scolded, and in the morning, no less.
Hey everyone, I think I see something.
As Evelyn said this, everyone looked up and turned at the sight of a massive, floating stone tower moving with the clouds and coming slowly in their direction. Rune quickly buttoned his pants and ran to the road with the rest of them. The tower seemed to be floating on the clouds he could now see, and, strangest of all, was the massive, floppy black and white wizard's hat that sat atop it.
Everyone can see that, right? Rune asked uncertainly, pulling out his half-drank bottle of red from his pack and inspecting the label for hallucinogens.
It is there, all right, Killian said in disbelief. I don't know if that's a relief or...
Have any of you seen anything like this before? Killian asked the group as the tower continued slowly toward them.
Thea, Opal, and Evelyn all shook their heads together.
That would be one of the floating castles that Kella warned us about that attacked Nightstone, Thea said.
Well, Killian said, eyeing the sparse patch of trees to their right. We are out in the open, and there's not much space to hide. I say we hail them as a friend and see what comes. What say the rest of you?
It looks like they've already seen us, Opal said softly. We can try. I like new friends.
Evelyn drew her blades across her arms, drawing blood and flames as the tower finally reached them where they walked. It stopped, floating above them, and a spiral staircase slowly descended and nearly touched the ground, hovering there. The steps were of a human proportion. Killian stepped up to the base of the stairs and shouted up,
"Are you a friend or foe?"
No response. "I think we go up," Opal whispered excitedly. Evelyn nodded, the light of her drawn blades reflected in her eyes.
"I've always wanted to walk on a cloud," Opal said, clapping her hands before her.
Rune rolled his eyes and Thea pushed ahead to step up first. Cloud stairs held her weight, so she continued up carefully, Killian following hesitantly at her heels. Finally, the rest of them followed, Evelyn taking up the rear. They climbed at least 1,000 feet with labored breaths before they reached the landing. It opened onto an empty porch with a large wooden door.
"I suppose whoever is up here couldn't hear me yelling from all the way down there," Killian said thoughtfully, reaching for the massive door to test if it was locked.
Rune stood at the edge of the cloud and sent a steady stream of piss into the air over it. At Thea's disgusted look, the gnome smirked and said, "It's not every day you get to do that." She shook her head and turned as Killian pushed the door open with some effort. It led into a marbled foyer, which was empty and had more steps leading up.
"If the people in this tower are evil, we should hijack this thing and take it to Tribor," Rune said in a hushed voice, faster than walking.
"Do we know how to steer a giant floating castle?" Thea asked, and Rune shrugged. "What if they are the people holding this thing together?" Killian whispered. "I know clouds. I make them, and none are so substantial as this." He gestured at their surroundings.
"I don't know, Killian," the gnome said confidently. "Maybe these are northern clouds. We haven't been all the way north. Who knows how things work up there?"
Killian looked back over the edge of the cloud at the ground far, far below, and seemed to pale, his ice-blue eyes widening. Rune patted a hand on his leg comfortingly, sensing in the human a similar feeling he had had the first day in Nightstone. It was fear of the unfamiliar.
"Well, there's no use in standing out here," Thea said and walked up the stairs. "It's time to greet our guest."
"Hello," she called out, her voice echoing up the tower.
The rest followed behind her again, Evelyn's sword still burning brightly. They entered a wide octagonal room, and towering high above them was a massive hole in the dome of the ceiling. Then, as if from a whimsical dream, down floated a 15-foot-tall cloud giant from a balcony. He slowly drifted down to land in front of them, cloaked in a black and white toga reminiscent of the giant hat atop the tower.
"Hello," he said happily in a friendly, booming voice.
"Little people," he gasped. "How nice."
"Hey," Rune shouted up at the tall figure as he landed lightly on his large feet. "I'm not that little. I'm 3'1", he said proudly.
"Hello," Opal said happily.
"Hello," the giant said again.
"Hello,"
Opal imitated his exact demeanor, down to the wan smile.
"That's good, I think," Rune said, holding up a hand to the Genasi and rubbing his temple with the other. "Hail, great giant," Killian said, dipping his head, "master of the skies."
"And what's your name?" the giant asked kindly, leaning down his big grayish head.
"Killian," said the sorcerer. "And whom do I have the honor of addressing?"
"My name," the giant said with a toothy smile straightening, "is Zephyros."
"Hello, Zephyros. My name is Thea," the elf bowed.
"So, Zeph, can I call you Zeph?" Rune asked without waiting for a response. "Where are we going, since you clearly picked us up for a reason?"
"Where are you going?" the giant asked.
"Did you pick us up for any reason?" Thea asked tentatively.
"I just like little people," the giant shrugged.
"I like your staircase," Opal exclaimed.
"Thank you," Zephyro smiled again. "We're headed to Tribor," Thea said, gazing up at the tall figure. "Tribor, you say?"
"Hmm."
The giant nodded his head thoughtfully.
"Perhaps this isn't a coincidence."
"I don't believe in coincidences," Rune said, arms folded.
"I visited another plane," Zephyro said. "I was told by the entities that I would meet some people heading to Tribor and that I should help them."
"Oh," Thea said in surprise, looking around at her companions.
"Yes," Zephyro said seriously. "You must be the ones who are going to fix everything with the giants."
I didn't realize we..." Killian looked at Rune helplessly, who grimaced in response. He knew what the sorcerer was thinking. They hadn't signed up for a world-shifting, prophecy-making, all-time giant-slaying kind of thing. They were just here to get some gold and maybe help a few people, at Killian's request. "What's happened to the giants?" Rune finally asked.
"And what have you done to help it?" Thea added.
"Ah, well," Zephyro shrugged. I was told by the entities to have more of an indirect influence on the war to come.
War to come? Rune thought, panic swelling. He came to the mainland for adventures, not death. Certainly not to become part of a prophecy.
Baravar, what do you have to do with this? He wondered.
What can you tell us about it? The elf asked.
The ordaining has been shattered. The giant's tone grew heavy.
What was the catalyst to the shattering? Thea asked.
The Storm King has disappeared, he sighed, sitting down on the ground in front of them, floating to his seat rather than dropping.
Are the others trying to usurp his throne?
Zephyros nodded.
Where did he go?
Evelyn asked softly, her blades lowered but still crackling with flame.
I don't know, the giant said sadly, then perked up and stood quickly. Let's go to Tribor so you can fix it.
Do you know how to defeat a fire giant by any chance? The elf said quickly.
I think if you stab it enough, it should work, he said helpfully. I don't know. I tend not to use violence.
Do you have any useful spells? Thea prodded.
I have books, he answered, to which Thea's eyes brightened with excitement.
Any pet snakes? Rune asked. The last people we met had flying snakes.
I have pet griffins. Don't go upstairs.
The large figure shifted nervously as he said this. Opal's face fell.
Do they live in the hat?
Yes, Zephyros told her, then said again, but don't go up there.
An awkward, serious silence followed.
Do you know what's happened to Nightstone? Thea asked.
Zephyros looked at her questioningly.
Cloud giants attacked the city, she said. They destroyed it and stole their stone and sent the people running for their lives.
Zephyros gasped in what seemed to be genuine surprise.
That's an atrocity. That's exactly what we thought, Killian said, looking more troubled.
Could they be relatives of yours? The elf asked hesitantly.
I don't know, Zephyros shook his head. This is the first I've heard of this.
Who are these entities that speak with you? Killian asked.
They told you nothing of this attack?
I don't know who they are, the giant smiled apologetically.
Are they voices you hear in your head? Rune asked. It was best to cover every possible road, especially when dealing with mainlanders.
No, no, he said. I just do a magical spell and everything gets spacey and then I hear them speaking to me.
Oh, Rune said slowly, casting a sideways glance at his friend.
So what is your position in the ordaining? Killian asked.
I am a cloud giant, Zephyros said. Are you closely associated with many of your people? Thea asked.
I try to stay out of conflicts. King Hecaton barely held the ordaining in control, and once he disappeared...
Right, Killian said in understanding.
Thank you for offering your help, Zephyros.
Zephyros dipped his head and began to float a few inches off the ground.
Don't go upstairs, he reminded them with a smile.
Do you play games? Rune asked quickly. Games of chance?
I could play a game, the giant said slowly. But then I need to get back to the navigation room, you know, to steer.
Oh, right, Rune said. Games were the best way to get to know a person, to learn their bluffs, their mannerisms, and, most importantly, their strategy in the long game.
I'll just play with myself, he said, and Evelyn looked over at him with embarrassment.
What? Rune whispered at her in defense. Everyone does it.
She blushed even harder and looked away, stifling a giggle. Killian looked down at Rune and rolled his eyes.
Could I see the navigation room? Thea was asking.
Zephyros examined her for a minute and said,
Sure, I guess so.
Without waiting for the rest of them to speak up, he grabbed Thea gently by the middle and lifted her up in one large, gray-knuckled hand, then flew up and disappeared beyond the giant balcony far, far above them.
Killian, Rune said quietly, staring up in awe, I think we should try to go upstairs.
And die? Killian hissed. I could use my illusory magic to disguise myself.
As a cloud giant?
Well, no, I can't do anything that large quite yet, but, perhaps a rabbit? Looking around, they saw the bottom of the tower was quite empty except for a massive, unadorned mahogany desk against one wall with no drawers or papers. The walls were finely designed but revealed no hidden doorways or passages.
Can we go upstairs? Evelyn asked impatiently. There's nothing to do down here.
I want to ride a griffin, Opal said.
How will we get up? Rune wondered. Can any of you fly?
They all shook their heads, all except Killian, who gave Rune a look.
There are no stairs, Killian said, and I fear this may be a fool's endeavor.
Hey, Zeph? Rune shouted, his small voice echoing up the tower.
Yes, Zephyros' head appeared over the balcony.
Can we visit your library? You said you had books. Where are they?
Rune gestured to the empty room around them.
They are upstairs, the giant said.
Can you bring us up there? Rune asked hopefully.
We're too small and I don't see any stairs.
Do you read giantish?
I do, yes, definitely yes, Rune lied.
I could bring you a book if you would like. What subjects interest you?
I like to browse, the gnome said.
No, the giant answered. No, I think it's best you stay down there, where I won't accidentally step on you.
With that, the giant's head disappeared from sight.
There's something off about that fellow, Rune muttered, then sighed in boredom.
There's nothing to do in here. Everything is too big and out of reach.
He pressed a hand to the ground and made it tremble using his thaumaturgy spell. Please, Killian said in a strained voice, rubbing his silver-streaked hair nervously through his fingers.
Don't disturb it.
Rune stood. Killian, are you afraid of heights? Killian shrugged uncomfortably.
No.
It's all right if you are, Killian, he leaned in and whispered.
I'm a bit afraid of women, if that helps.
I simply prefer sea level, he muttered.
With that, they settled in with resignation, unrolling their bedrolls on the hard floor and sitting back.
Rune, Evelyn said hesitantly, can you teach me a card game?
Oh, sure, he smiled, patting the ground across from him and drawing out a deck of cards, shuffling them expertly between his hands. Have you ever heard of 52 pickup? When Thea eventually returned to them, she was not keen on Rune's plan to try and sneak to the upper part of the tower.
We have found a gracious host, albeit one that could easily kill all of us if given a reason, and I don't feel the need to step on any toes.
Aren't you the least bit curious? Rune demanded in a hushed voice, looking at each of them accusatorily. How is it I'm the only one who wants to figure out what he's hiding? Me! Have I become paranoid about everything, or is there some truth in my fears?
I'd like to know, too, Evelyn said.
Thank you, Evelyn.
Thea stepped out of the foyer and laid back on the clouds, closing her eyes. In a huff, Rune threw himself down dramatically and glanced over at Killian, pleadingly. The sorcerer shrugged and sat down beside him.
I'm sorry, little friend, he said quietly. This is for the best.
The day passed slowly into night, and the following day continued uneventfully. The castle moved slowly, almost lazily, across the sky, piercing clouds and causing birds to squawk and avoid it. Evelyn sat on her own, rolling her pocket eyeball between two fingers. Rune sat next to her, watching her for a while.
Evelyn, he said cautiously, I don't mean to offend, but I'm curious. Why do you have that eyeball and whose is it?
Oh, I just found it, she said innocently, continuing to roll it through her fingers.
Where did you find it? He asked in surprise.
I don't know. I got it one day. I just sort of had it all of a sudden.
So you just woke up and... Do you remember your childhood? He asked.
Yes, I do, Evelyn said.
Where are you from exactly?
I'm from really far away. A small town up north, she shrugged.
Rune, where are you from? Thea asked, sitting down next to him.
Rune stretched as he considered his answer.
I actually grew up in a very, fancy place. On an island named Evermeet. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I have.
The elf smiled strangely at him. Rune dipped his head. The population is mainly comprised of elf kind.
Why did you leave?
Honestly, this won't shed a great light on me. He paused, sighing. But I left so I could get drunk and gamble a lot, he said simply. And party. And I couldn't really do that there anymore, so...
Not much of a party place, Thea filled in.
All my friends, my family, were growing up and getting married, having families of their own.
He scratched his scruffy goatee thoughtfully. I quickly realized my life didn't align with their responsibilities. So I decided to take a ship and travel to the free cities. Thea pointed to Killian.
And how did you two come to know each other?
Killian was a sailor.
I sailed on the ship Rune took from Evermeet, the sorcerer said. We didn't formally meet until a while later, when we vaguely recognized one another from across the room in a tavern in one of the free cities.
Mintarn, they both said at once.
Is it windy there? Evelyn asked randomly.
Yeah, it is, actually, Rune said.
A bit of a sea breeze, Killian said wistfully.
Yeah, so we met, we gambled, I took a bunch of Killian's money, and he liked me for it.
He has a great sense of humor, Rune said conspiratorially.
He knows I'm hilarious, did from the start.
After that, we decided to take our adventures through the free cities and finally to the mainland, Killian summarized, urging the story along.
Exactly, Rune nodded.
I didn't know gambling worked like that, Opal said in wonder.
Oh, it can be very profitable, Rune told her.
You can play it, so you always win.
I'm quite worldly, Opal. I can teach you a lot about gambling. The skill is all in the tricks.
Thea cut in, looking at the wide-eyed Genasi.
I wouldn't take all of the advice Rune gives you, she advised.
Will you teach me to gamble, like you promised? Evelyn asked hopefully. I want to make money from games.
I'll tell you what, Evie, I'll do you one better. I'll teach you how to steal people's money, just, he clarified with a raised index, the ones who don't need it. I'm not a bad gnome, after all.
He smiled wickedly. And I wouldn't steal from any of you, now that I know you.
I was going to say, Thea interrupted, you tried stealing from me that day we met.
Rune shrugged sheepishly.
But why can't we just kill them and take their money? Evelyn asked innocently.
As a cleric, I've learned the value of a life, Rune told her, and when they can be spared, even saved.
The world is a shifting scale, I think my mother called it, always shifting.
It's best not to kill anyone. Besides, who wants to spend their night washing blood out of their clothes? Rune added jokingly.
Oh, I don't mind, the small white-haired girl said earnestly.
Right, Rune said, eyeing her sideways.
What's your story, Evelyn? Thea asked.
My story for what? The girl said quickly.
Your life, Rune clarified.
We have some time, days in fact. I think it's best if we get to know each other, Thea added. You're a bit of an enigma, young lady.
I don't know, Evelyn said nervously. I just travel around and fight things. It's fun.
Have you ever fought in a competition? Rune asked excitedly, leaning toward her, where you fight in front of an audience and you make money doing it.
I don't really like being in public, Evelyn said shyly.
I can understand that, Rune said, though that was a half-truth, for he very much enjoyed attention. There is much to be said for shadows and tricks when everyone else is looking at the spotlight.
Very well, Killian said, clearing his throat. Thea, how did you come up on these circumstances? How did you lose your betrothed?
Well, the elf leaned back introspectively. It started with a job. Alar and I heard of a treasure. Easy pickings, it was rumored. She closed her eyes. One night, while I slept, I heard screaming. We had made camp and Alar was on watch. Next thing I knew, I was standing over his body. He was dead. Killed by giants. There was nothing I could do then but hide. The deed had been done, and I had no idea how to stop them.
She paused, catching her breath.
For a few months, I sank into a life of waking sleep, the pain numbed by whatever drink I could find. But then I heard rumors of giants where I was staying in Neverwinter, and I knew what I had to do.
Do you know what kind of giants they were? Rune asked delicately.
Fire giants, Thea said, and after another pause she added, Alar was strong. We were a good team, but they caught him off guard, and it almost seemed like it was targeted.
Bastards, Rune said. I'm sorry, Thea.
She nodded, clearing her throat. He was a great wizard, much more skilled than I. When they killed him, they took his spellbook. I would give anything to get it back.
Well, I'm unfortunately out of wine. Not sure how that happened, the gnome said. But I think we could all do with something to pass the time, other than sharing our sad stories. Opal, you're a druid. Do you have any, you know, he winked, tea?
Tea? Opal said in open confusion.
I think what my little friend is trying to imply, Killian explained, is that he would like a substance to ease the mind and perhaps distract it. Something stronger than liquor.
Rune splayed his hands in clear agreement. Opal was about to answer when Evelyn cut in.
Also, Opal, what are you?
Before anyone could object to the awkwardness of the question, Opal happily said, I'm half gnome, half djinn. I'm a Genasi. That's why my eyes are so big. She pointed one hand at her eyes and the other at Rune to draw the connection.
Wouldn't genome be a more apt name? The elf wondered aloud, her scholarly side showing.
Rune snapped his fingers and pointed at her. I like that.
Suddenly, there was a loud bang on the opposite end of the tower, and the main door flew open. Everyone stood immediately as a group of 9 hooded black figures strode in unison through the foyer.
Zephyros! Thea shouted up. Zephyros!
Yes, the giant called happily from above, leaning his large face over the balcony.
The cloaked figure stopped and looked at them, then up at the cloud giant peering down.
What's happening? Thea asked, hands clenched and ready for a fight. Who are you people?
New people, Zephyro said. More little folk.
You should really think about locking your front door, Rune shouted up at him, eyeing the strangers with caution.
Who we are is none of your business, the lead figure said scathingly to the elf.
Our business is with the giant.
Thea squared her shoulders defiantly.
Zephyros, the stranger called.
How did you all get up here, Rune asked curiously, stepping toward the group and eyeing their cloaks, trying to peer under them. This is a floating castle. Not sure if you realize. Do you have wings under there?
We obviously used our flying vultures, the man said in annoyance.
Oh, yeah, obviously, Rune echoed.
Zephyros, he called again, come treat with us.
What do you want with him? Thea asked defensively.
We have an agreement with the giant, the leader said, his face still in shadows. Or at least we will. On behalf of Yancy Bin, the prince of evil air.
Like evil air, Rune said, or evil air?
Those are the same thing, the leader said.
No, Rune pointed out, they just sound the same. And air with an H is much different from the stuff we breathe. He paused.
Obviously.
It's the latter, the man snapped in frustration, clearly thrown off by the interaction.
He is an elemental prince. Now, I've had enough of this tomfoolery. Zephyros, get down here and speak with us.
All right. The cloud giant smiled, then flew over the balcony and began to float gracefully down. When he landed, the leader took a step forward.
The prince of evil air would like to work with you, a cloud giant, the man said simply. He believes it would be in everyone's best interest.
In a slithering, harsh tongue, Killian spoke. Rune recognized the language as primordial, but could not speak it himself. The leader responded in kind, shaking his head angrily. Zephyros smiled wanly as he watched the exchange. Finally, he said,
What can I do for you, gentlemen? We want to make a deal to return the Earth to its primordial state.
Is that all? Rune snorted. What does that mean? Thea asked.
It means destroying at least part of the world, Zephyros explained, a crease forming between his eyes. We want to make the world more elemental, the leader explained, looking up at the concerned giant. Break it down to its simpler forms.
Does that mean breaking down the people as well? Rune asked. The leader dipped his head.
Of course.
Zephyros, Thea turned to him. What do you think of all of this? Her opinion was quite clear by her tone. Zephyros pulled them aside and crouched down, telling the men to wait at the door. The giant said thoughtfully.
I don't know. What do you think?
It sounds pretty bad, the elf said.
Yeah, Rune agreed. Genocide, in my opinion, is not usually the best course of action.
Killian was uncomfortably quiet, and Rune recognized his look of being overwhelmed by matters much greater than his little corner of the world.
Perhaps there is another way, Killian said in a strained voice, to put back the order of the world and mend the giant's ordering.
Like killing all the bad ones, Rune said.
It sounds, the giant said with a heavy sigh, that any choice I make will end in violence.
What if we found the leader of the giants, Rune speculated, this King Hecaton fellow? Zephyros nodded thoughtfully.
That would be wise. Would it end the violence and restore order? Thea asked.
It may, Zephyros said.
Any sort of force that wants to destroy half the Earth cannot be kept, Killian said quietly.
I think we should kill them, Evelyn whispered. I can cut myself to get ready, she offered.
Oh, Zephyros said in surprise.
We can't let them leave, Thea agreed, or they will find another cloud giant to do Yancy Bin's bidding.
It sounds like the Prince of Evil Air is pretty evil, Evelyn said.
It's an honorary title, I believe, given to all elemental princes, Zephyros explained. It does not necessarily mean he's evil.
Genocide equals evil, Rune pointed out again. Do we know if he's human?
I have a feeling he's more elemental in nature, the giant said. Like an elemental spiritual being, he explained at their confused expressions.
They're clearly bad, Evelyn added. They're wearing black robes.
That's true, Rune nodded emphatically. That's definitely a sign of badness. The random interruption of these strange men gave him much cause for concern.
I don't like the idea of the world ending as we know it, Killian said gravely.
The world has already ended, as you know it, Zephyros said.
We can restore it, Thea promised.
We've agreed to a lot in these last 2 days, Rune thought worriedly.
These men also claim they can restore it, the giant pointed out, looking across the room at the stoic cloaked figures.
That's knocking the entire house down, foundation and all. We want to keep the bones intact, Thea said. The structure.
I say we send them away, Rune said, by magical means or otherwise.
I could always talk to the entities, Zephyros said thoughtfully.
We don't have time for that, Rune said impatiently. I say we get rid of them. Killian?
The sorcerer shrugged helplessly. This is beyond my pay grade.
If we ever got paid, Rune muttered miserably.
If we kill them, the prince may come looking for us, Thea pointed out.
Let him try, Rune turned then and strode toward their leader, leaving 10 feet between them. With a quiet utterance, he felt magic fill his throat and coat his tongue, and with a forceful voice he said,
Leave.
The leader tilted his head, then turned on his heel, without a word, and began walking toward the door. The other 8 figures turned in confusion, and one of them said,
What are you doing, Emrath?
He wants to leave, obviously, Rune said. You're done here.
What did you do? He demanded, drawing his sword.
Navon, another one asked with the drawn blade, what do we do?
Kill them, Navon said.
With that, Rune threw up his hands defensively and shot a white, flaming bolt of sacred fire at the man named Navon. It hit him hard in the chest and sent him flying back into his companions.
Oh no, Zephyro said, but made no move to intervene on the side of either party.
He simply stepped out of the way as the rest of Rune's companions came charging forward.
Someone grab Emrath, Navon gasped, and the other hooded men helped him to his feet. Get the creature!
Rune didn't like the sound of that. He whisked his left hand through the air and, in the confusion, a duplicate image of him appeared, shimmering at his side. The hooded men all drew swords and scimitars and rushed into the center of the octagonal room, and in a moment there was a ferocious crash as blades and spells met one another in the air.
I think we've made a mistake, Killian shouted, shooting a chaos bolt at one of the men in black. Zephyros, stop this!
The giant ignored the sorcerer's pleas, standing over the fight with interest. A bright cone of moonlight shone down and incinerated one of the men where they stood, and Opal pushed the light through the room to scour another enemy. Thea shot missiles while Evelyn's blade zipped through the air, slashing and burning as they went. Rune sent his duplicate through the crowd to inflict wounds on one of the men, while he turned to Thea to heal her bleeding wounds. As he did this, he took a cut in the side. Many blades tore through his duplicate, the illusion shimmering but unharmed. Emrath finally realized the spell over him and turned to return to the fight. The leader pulled out a pouch from his belt and opened it. There was a sound like a blast of air and a swirling mass of wind escaped from the pouch and disappeared. A moment later, the invisible entity slammed into Evelyn and sent her sprawling on the ground, the flames of her blades going out as she dropped them. Killian shot a shattering spell in the direction of the invisible foe, and there was a pained shriek and shuddering as it made contact before swirling away. Evelyn leapt back to her feet, swept up her swords, and got Navon in the chest, stopping his heart with one fine thrust. Rune drew his short sword and shield and began fending off a man twice his height, and finally got a cut in, drawing his blade across the back of the man's knees. He screamed and dropped to Rune's height, and the gnome pierced his skull through an eye. Looking around, he saw Evelyn and Thea unconscious. The invisible wind monster had knocked them down, and only he, Killian, and Opal remained. Rune quickly issued an order to his double, which ran to Evelyn and Thea's side and began healing them. Before he could look up to the sudden sound of rushing air, something hit him hard, and all went black. Rune woke with a groan, his head aching, and stood quickly in search of enemies. What happened? He gasped. Opal looked around sadly as everyone began to get to their feet, all of them rubbing their heads in discomfort.
Once you were all hit by the monster, Opal explained, Zephyros helped send away the bad men, and then we healed you all.
What happened to the wind monster? Killian asked with a grimace.
I covered it in fairy fire and destroyed it, the Genasi said with a light smile and an awkward curtsy.
Zephyros, Killian looked up at the giant, who was peering down at them with concern. Why didn't you help us?
I hadn't chosen a side yet, the giant said.
And now you have, Thea said harshly.
I told you before, the entities do not want me to directly interfere in these matters.
The giant nodded, then paused.
Well, now that you are all alive, I'm going to go navigate.
Before anyone could object, the giant flew up to the second level balcony and disappeared once again from view.
Well, Killian huffed in frustration, that didn't go so well.
Did we miss anything else? Rune asked Opal, who nodded and held up Emrath's pouch, which had once held the wind monster.
What is it? The sorcerer asked, taking it from her.
Zephyros said it's called a bag of holding, the Genasi whispered. It's supposed to carry a great many things and is light to carry.
Rune took it from Killian in awe, digging his hand through the bottomless bag curiously. Coins and jewels ran through his fingertips. He looked up at his companions, smiling slightly. This will be very good, he said. You've been listening to The Giant's Gamble by Alexis Fienendahl and based on the Storm King's Thunder D&D campaign. For more stories written by me, you can visit my blog at alexisfienendahl.com or click the link provided in the show notes. You can also subscribe to my podcast so you can keep hearing stories by me. Thanks for listening.